Ray was directed to the pool where walls were put around the pool and he subsequently drowned. Don't know how it happened.
No, the walls were magically appeared out of the ground, right? Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Shenantics, the world's best and most beloved podcast on the internet and delivered by hand mail. I am one of your co-hosts, M. Cole, joined by my buddy Skanky. Skanky, say hello.
Hi. Hand mail?
Hand mail? Like postal.
Hand mail.
Hand, like... I thought that worked. How would you describe it?
Just, you know, mail. You know, mail.
But what, that's like email. Like,
by hand? What? Mailed by hand?
Mail by hand.
Hand mail is like, I don't know what even that is. You're mailing hands to people. So you're like a mobster.
I mean, that would be a cool service to offer, is like cassette tape podcast delivery that's just mailed out to you every week.
That would be pretty cool.
I would subscribe to one of those podcasts. I would pay money, whatever the postage is, to receive a physical podcast in the mail.
Here's a good question. Like, you know, like they have all those big bundling services like Loot Crate and like all those things. Do you think they have those for vinyl and cassettes?
Oh, I don't know. I would have to. My brother is really big into vinyl. I should ask him sometime. My guess is they have to. Right?
They have to, because that's such a good idea. Like I definitely couldn't come up with it.
Yeah,
like, it's already got to exist.
I mean, if it doesn't, we have to edit this out of the podcast.
Oh my god,
you and I have a new business venture.
That's such a good idea.
That's a great idea. That is,
because
really
I also feel
idea.
Like vinyls. Like, yeah, you have the collectors of vinyls, but you also have now like a casual vinyl listener.
Mm-hmm.
Who may not have a giant collection. They go to Urban Outfitters to go buy their vinyls.
Yeah.
But, like, with that service, I don't know. That would be interesting. Like, you put in your genre, and then you just get your... Well, this is an amazing idea. Who hasn't? This needs to have already.
This needs to happen. I think I kind of want to start it. I kind of want to start it up. This is, but wow. I feel like I'm also getting kind of like bad flashbacks. Like, was it the Columbia House like record thing where you get like in the mail? It's like for $2, you get 100 CDs. And like, yes, and you sign up, and then like they enroll you for life, and like you can't get out of it. And
I never even heard of that.
Oh my gosh, you're showing our age difference again.
Sorry, I had never. Never. I used to buy CDs at a bookstore.
Okay, yeah, I remember that. Yeah. There's a Borders. I don't think they exist anymore. There used to be a Borders.
Yes,
by us.
I used to go to Borders.
Yes, this is awesome. Okay, so
dude,
maybe we're not that different. Maybe we're not that different.
No, dude, I used to scour through the Borders section trying to find like weird CDs and stuff. Good times.
Yeah, did you ever have a Sam Goody by you?
No, I didn't have Sam Goody.
That was one of mine. I shouldn't say funny, but it's kind of interesting about how, like, when I was kind of growing up through music is like when in the decline of the record stores, like by my end of high school is when they were kind of all gone. And it's just interesting to see like how I jumped from one place to another as places closed. Like when Sam Goody was no longer a thing, we went over to Tower Records and like, you know, got our records from them. And then when they went out of business, like, jumped on over to like just the bookstores, and then eventually it was just everything online. So
yeah,
which I think we're better for. I think so.
CDs were kind of annoying unless you had a CD player.
Yeah. I mean,
but then the MP3 player came out, and it was like, why even need CDs anymore?
Did you ever have a mini disc player?
No, I never. Oh, you know what? I think I might have.
They had like,
not
little...
for a very long time, right? I remember when I was in school, I had this, I don't even remember the brand name of it, but it was an MP3 player that was triangular.
Oh.
Or it was like long and a triangle. It was so weird.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to have like weird music on there. I don't even remember. Like, it was a long time ago, but I had a CD player for a little while. Mm-hmm. And then I went to the mini disc player for like really not that short, like a very short period of time because the MP3 player had just come out and I got that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I loved my mini disc player, but yeah, it was like, a couple months to a year was the lifespan of the mini disc player just because MP3 players were hot on its heels. And it's like, you can have insertable discs or everything on the device. You're like,
yeah,
and they're the same size physically. It's like, okay, let's go with the MP3 players.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. So, it's kind of like when GameCube was like, hey, we're going to use small discs. Like, what? Yeah. Okay, I guess. But the thing was still huge. Like, the console was still big.
So true. Have you ever, though, have you ever seen a GameCube circuit board? The thing is, like, a work of art. It's just, like, gorgeous. The way they've packed, like, so much into that, like, small square board. It's really, really kind of cool.
I never saw that before.
Yeah. I looked it up online once, so.
Oh, I know, online.
Yes. Well, it's crazy because we don't even like really have MP3 players anymore. I mean, everything's on our phones. And
I actually retired my. I had an iPod video. It wasn't the video. It was like the original one. It was like the 160 gig. I think it was. I used that forever. I used that up until like probably 2014 or so. And then like I started listening more to podcasts, and then I moved on to my phone for that, and then I started listening to like exclusively Spotify after that.
I don't even
really get anything anymore.
Streaming is just so convenient for music. It's just I can't imagine going back.
In some cases I miss it a little bit because I kind of like not always having to deal with data and stuff when listening to things on my phone. I liked having also, I was very proud of my music collection.
Yes.
I'm actually still very proud of my music. Like my iTunes is awesome.
Yeah.
But I don't go on it anymore because Spotify is literally has everything and it's my music collection now. But hey, if you wanted every album of Modest Mouse, I got you.
Yes.
Even like the black market CDs that you weren't even supposed to know that they were recording live. I got you.
Oh, man.
I got you.
So, visit the Skanky Underground Music Collection.
Yeah, I got you. The black market. Skanky Black Market Music Collection. Yeah. Did you ever have a Zune?
I did not. Remember you and I, different origins. You were anti-Apple. I was pro-Apple. And so.
Got it. Okay.
Like, for my Makes life sense. Was always just the Apple one. Did you have a Zune?
No, I never had a Zune either.
Okay. I don't think I've ever met a person that's had a Zune.
Because I read an article recently, I think it was on Vice, where they were talking about the Zune and people who still use it.
Really?
Yeah, and they're very dedicated to their Zune.
Interesting, because honestly, every once in a while, because like of what you were just saying about like being proud of your iTunes library and like the stuff that you had and the metadata and cultivating it and putting it together, it's like something that you built yourself. Like I kind of do miss that, and every once in a while I do think about like maybe I'll just like bust out an old iPod and just go old school for like a few weeks and just kind of get back in touch with me and my music and stuff. Also, another thing with the music libraries, it was really cool for me when I first got onto a college campus in like freshman year, because all the computers are all networked together, and so you'd have shared iTunes libraries and you could like just peruse like, what's my neighbor across the hall, what's their music taste like, and and then I was always so proud to be like, come check out my music library, like it's
yo,
totally
we got the
badass.
Real stuff over here.
Exactly. So
it
was good. And then mine kind of got out of control, and I think I declared bankruptcy on it and like rebuilt it from the ground up one summer just because so frustrated with it because it got unruly and the album art wasn't correct, and it was just
you always have to have the right album art.
You got to
pissed me off when it didn't do that.
Yeah, so I think it's funny. One thing that's kind of funny though is like, so if you look at like album art, kind of took a big declined in importance, right? When vinyl like first came out, it's obviously hugely important because of the entire experience of the album and the artwork there, and you pull the record out and you put it on.
Yeah.
It got a little less important with the CD because now the size is downgraded. And people would, a lot of times you keep your CDs in like a big disc changer instead of keeping them in the cases. And so it got like a little less important. And then when MP3s first like really became popular, MP3 players and all that kind of stuff, album art was pretty much gone because no MP3 player, most of them didn't have color screens. I don't think at first none of them had color screens. So they didn't show album art. iTunes didn't have album art into it until later. And so almost kind of like got completely like taken off, and then it started to make a little bit more of a rise. And then a lot of times with the streaming services now, album art is important again in that you see it. It's not as important as it was in the vinyl days, but it has made a little more of a rise back, it seems like.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Even with video games too.
Yeah.
I've always thought that was interesting. Like even old time stuff. like what was it, Space Invaders game art and like all that stuff. I thought was interesting.
Yeah, no, exactly. Now with video games, do you, if you are given the option, do you prefer to buy the physical disc or digital download?
I'm kind of like both ways. Like I'm okay with buying either, honestly, whatever's cheaper, because sometimes the physical copy will end up being cheaper on Amazon or something. For me to get, I think it's like cheaper with Prime sometimes. So
yeah, if you get,
I'll end up just
releases.
Getting the physical copy. But if it's something that I want to play right then and there, I'll just get the digital copy.
Interesting.
It's not a big deal. But I'm very anti GameStop. I won't go to GameStop.
Why is that?
I gave GameStop too much money anyway, with pre-ordering and all that crap. I don't want to deal with them anymore.
That makes sense. The relationship gone sour.
Yeah, so. Yeah. And I had a gamer. I had a game rewards thing with GameStop for a very, very long time. And I used to, every time I used to buy a game, I used to scan it. And like I was trying to figure out what the hell to do with the points, because you can't do anything with it.
Oh, really?
Like yeah, like, there's nothing you can do. It's like, oh, get 10% off of used games or something. It's like, okay, I don't need to use that.
Yes, no, exactly. Yeah, I've never really shopped at GameStop. Mostly because when there's that big period where I didn't play many video games, and then when I got back into it, digital downloads were so prevalent, and I prefer to always get the digital download, and I try to never get the physical copy, just because I don't have space in my apartment for any more freaking jewel cases for stuff. So I was like, I'd rather try and get rid of all the physical aspects and then just go digital. Because like, I mean, just I'm spoiled with Steam, right? Just okay, space right now. Delete it and then just re-download it later. And same thing with like, you know, on the Switch and Xbox and PlayStation 4, just delete the game. And then if you want to play it again later, just re-download it.
And exactly. Yeah. Just, and like, plus,
so
like,
convenient.
when you buy a physical copy now for PS4 or whatever, I mean, it's just downloading the game anyway.
Exactly.
For you.
Yeah.
So the disc is nothing. I mean, it's just
so true.
It's kind of annoying.
It does. A lot of times now, I forget what game it was. Was it maybe Mass Effect Andromeda? And it was like one of the higher editions, like the collector's edition or whatever the tier below that was. If you bought that one, like the physical copy, they just sent you a game code to like redeem on like Origin or something.
Yeah, I mean, you might,
like,
as well, right?
So you don't even get the disc anymore. So it's kind of like, yeah, it's kind of interesting. But
yeah, it's weird.
I'm a big fan of going all digital with everything. So,
yeah, I don't mind it. It's okay.
Books, movies, games.
I like some old physical copies that I have, though, of games.
Yeah,
like I'm pretty proud that I have almost every single Call of Duty except for the last one physical copy. That's cool.
That is really cool, actually. That is really,
yeah,
really cool.
Have them all lined up, you know, in order. Ooh, love it.
Yeah, see, but okay, so I have this problem in that like if I get into the like purchasing and keeping of like physical stuff, like I almost get into like hoarder mode with it. Like I am super like wanting to complete sets of things. So like for like your situation with the Call of Duty, I would have bought that last Call of Duty that I didn't have a copy of just because I felt like I needed it for the rest of the set, even if I had no intention to play it. Like, so I try and keep away from things that get me into that. And a big one is like I don't even look at those Funko Pops, those vinyl figures. Like people tweet out like new ones and stuff, like Multitus always like gives me a hard time, and he sends me tweets of, he's like, look how cool this one is. I'm like, you know, I cannot look at those because I will buy
them all.
Exactly, I'll buy all of them. I like, and like the Overwatch ones are the worst because I'll be like, I need every hero. Oh, they released the new Diva.
Yeah.
I gotta go get that. I'm like, I don't have space for these damn Funko Pops in my apartment. Like, I mean, to give you an idea of how bad it is, like I currently own for Overwatch, like figure stuff, I currently own the statue for Soldier 76 that came in the collector's edition. I own the statue for Tracer and Reaper, and then the second they released the Widowmaker one that hasn't come out yet, I bought that one, and that statue is like $150 without even like thinking twice. I was like, purchase. Like, yes,
yeah,
we need that. It's got, it has friends here, they need to hang out. But yeah, so I try and keep it like the things that I purchase physical stuff to like a bare minimum, so I don't get into that terrible habit. because I'll be broke. I'll be living on the street and like I won't even
with
be
all
able
your
to play
figurines.
Exactly, all my figurines. I'll be like, I can't sell any of them. It'll break the set.
Exactly, living out of a cardboard box.
Exactly. So we'll have two cardboard boxes: one for me and one for the Funko Pops.
One for the figurines. Yeah,
exactly.
Perfect. So perfect.
It'll be great, but yeah. So I try and stay away from physical stuff as much as I can. It's gonna be rough. I'll tell you one thing that's kind of interesting. Sometimes when I do wish I had a lot more physical items is when it comes to stream and the face cam, because one thing that I think looks really cool is when people have the face cam without the green screen, so there is a background, and behind them they have a bookshelf with memorabilia or figurines or other just really cool stuff, and I think it just makes a very nice like set piece type thing, and I think that actually for me even looks better than if it was just green screened out. So especially if it's well lit and stuff, I think, I don't know, that just looks really cool. So I kind of sometimes I wish I had a whole bunch of just really cool stuff I could have put behind me, and then
I like when people do that. If I'm watching a stream and it's not green screened out, I love to see like posters or something else in the background just to make it look kind of nice, you know. Otherwise, I'm kind of a big fan of the green screen. I like when people use green screens.
I do like the green screen too. I was torn on it. I didn't know if I wanted to go green screen or not, and then because I wasn't sure how I felt about the look of it.
Yeah.
But no, I'm completely sold on it.
Then you saw my stream, and you're like, "Man, I'm going to copy Skanky and do it."
Exactly. I was like, "I'm going to copy Skanky. His green screen can't let him show me up anymore."
Sorry, I got something stuck in my throat. Give me a second here. I got to take a little bit of water.
It's true. Everything. So I just copy my entire format of my stream is all copied from Skanky, you guys, in case you didn't know. So one thing is, we haven't talked about Twitch in a while, Skanky.
We haven't talked about Twitch in a long time.
But the other day I went back and watched my 1 year clip show, and man, that is like a trip down memory lane and feels and everything. Like, that is just some cool stuff. On my run, I went on a run, but right before we started recording, and the entire time I'm thinking about what I wanted to put in the year two clip show. So
yeah,
I don't know. It's cool.
I've been thinking about that too for my 1 year too. My 1 year coming up.
Mm-hmm.
What did I watch this morning? Oh, I watched my my Sims 4 video.
Mm-hmm.
My Rip Ray series, the first video. That is actually one of my favorite pieces of content I've ever created.
I thought it
was so funny. The stream was amazing, but having it all cut together.
Oh, it was great.
In that manner. Oh my God. I laugh every single time I watch it, even though I've seen it a million times. It's just so funny. And it works so well. That's something I'm like so proud of. I loved that.
Yeah,
that was good times.
Speaking of things I honestly did steal from you, playing The Sims. Like when I watched you play The Sims, I was like, I want to play this game. I want to stream this game.
We had to convince you
so much. Yes, I was not on Team Sims. I messaging.
You were not Team Sims 4.
Yeah, I was messaging.
Why didn't you want to play it?
I don't. I just didn't feel so. It's two things. Like first of all, I didn't feel like it was so much within my wheelhouse. Like I felt like it was kind of far out from what I usually stream. And second of all, you're really good at the improv and like the storytelling and stuff like that you make it look effortless, but I know that it is not effortless. And so the entire time I'm thinking, oh my God, I may try and do this and it's just not going to work out. And then eventually it was like, okay, I just got to take the jump in. And to tell you the truth, it's one of my favorite things I've streamed. It really is.
It's a very, very fun game.
Yeah. Yesterday when we were playing The Sims, so we have Joe and Rabbit are in there and they're married and we had them have a kid and the kid was born yesterday and it turned out being twins. it was just this huge thing. And then the toddlers in Sims 4 are so adorable that I honestly felt emotions towards this. Like it was like, M. Cole sitting here like melting into like a pool of emotions on stream with these like toddler Sims. They're like, because they're like, they're dancing, and then my Sim came over and danced with them. And he hates children, and I was like, oh my God, it was just
so cute.
It was too good, but Yeah, no, I'm very happy I copied you on that one. So, good idea, Skanky.
No, thanks. See, Sims 4 is a very, very fun game. I had so much fun playing it. Mm-hmm. There's just a lot of work that goes into streaming it.
Yeah.
Like, you have to have, when you go to stream Sims 4, you need to have an idea about what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, the first time I played it, I didn't really plan a lot. Like, I hadn't played Sims in such a long time. And I kind of just jumped in, and it worked for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, when you start streaming it, like, a lot later, you're kind of like, okay, how do I make this as good as when I started? Because then it starts getting a little repetitive, because it's like, oh, this person, like, we're going to make them old, pretty much. Like, they're just going to keep eating and go to the bathroom and shower and, like, hey, maybe we'll go to this club and lip sing and or whatever, or karaoke, whatever it is, you know? But then, like, you jump into, like, the add-on packs and all, like, the DLC stuff and the city life and all that. That's all fun. That's all good. And then, you know, I don't know. You just got, there's a lot of stuff you can do in Sims, but it's a little bit repetitive after a while. I would love to jump back in. I'm just not exactly too sure what I would do. You know, I already have Baby Joe Mumbly and Papa M Call, and I got the Diner Family, who lost their diner a million times. And I got Skanky and Haley and the Goth Family. I still got all that stuff. I just don't know exactly, you know, what I would do with it now. I'm kind of like at a crossroads.
Yeah, no, it's so true that what you said. Like, I put a lot of energy and thought into what's going to happen next on The Sims. And so, like, my guess is that, because I don't know, because I'm the one on the other side of the camera, but my guess is if people tune into the stream, a lot of it can seem like it's just random, right? Like, oh, okay, we just did this, or just at a moment's notice, we decided to move over and try something else. But a lot of it's planned out in, when are we moving to a bigger apartment? When are we going to let Joe and Rabbit have kids, right? Like, it's kind of like, because we can you can do all that from day one, but like you said, like, you gotta have something that you're kind of striving for. And so a lot of it is like, all right, I want Joe and Rabbit to have a kid. When do I want them to have that kid? Like, when, what is the story arc that we're kind of creating now? And when are we going to move over into that other one? Because, or else you, like you said, you hop on and it's just like, okay, here you go. You eat, you go to the bathroom, you go to work. You know what I mean? And it's just kind of, it's not as exciting as it was before. And so it takes a lot of different, like, a lot of thought beforehand just to make sure that you pace yourself in what it is you want to do, which is also part of the reason that we never, for mine personally, we never cheated in any money, which isn't a bad thing, right? Like, if you want to play Sims and cheat in money, that's also entertaining and awesome, because you can build really cool stuff. But for me, I felt like that it would at least give me progression to be able to upgrade stuff. So, hey, Skanky, have you ever cheated in money into The Sims?
So what happened when I played Sims was like, guys, we're not gonna cheat in the money. We're not gonna do it. Everyone was like, oh my god, like, just do it. Like, let's just get money. And like, I was like, no, guys, we're gonna stick to our ethics. We're not gonna cheat in this game. 10 minutes later, I'm like, all right, guys, we're gonna cheat. We're gonna get money. So I start doing it, and they're like, really, Skanky? Wow, you're cheating in this game? I'm like, oh my god. You guys. I did cheat. I cheated so what happened was, I started my first playthrough with Skanky, I didn't cheat for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I had like this terrible home that had one huge room. So I had a kitchen in the left-hand corner, a little like living room with a penguin TV in the front, and on the right-hand side I had my bed, and then the upper right-hand corner I had my bathroom, but there were no walls in between them. So, like, if someone was sitting in the living room, they could just see me, like, taking a poop in the bathroom, like, straight shot. Oh, my God, it was so funny. Then we got some good money, and we started upgrading the house a little bit. My God, such funny time.
I vividly remember that first one where it was just one giant room. And, like, I have fond memories of this.
Oh, my God. People would come to me like, what the hell kind of house is this? Yeah. I was like, it's a house. We're saving money. No big deal.
It's so good.
We're fine.
Oh, my gosh. And then I remember when you... when you moved to the city living one, you moved into the apartment, and like, when you were like, you moved the rug out and found like the outline of the dead body. Like someone had been murdered there. Like that was some of the best.
This is what we get for buying the cheap apartment.
Exactly. This one's so funny. This one's so cheap, you guys. I wonder why.
Like, yeah, we moved the rug as a freaking chalk outline of a dead body.
Oh, it was, yeah.
And the smell never went away. You couldn't get rid of it. It was terrible. And then I had rats.
Yeah.
My electricity kept going out. I got electrocuted.
Yes.
Terrible.
Yeah. See, terrible. That's so much fun stuff. So
then I started going out with the landlord. Oh, that was a whole different story. Yes. Oh, boy.
My sim dates like everybody. Okay, that's a lie. There's one person that he has tried to date, our neighbor across the hall, and that man would not date us, and we are now mortal enemies with them. So much so that
like Ray.
exactly.
Rip Ray.
Poor Ray. Do you want to tell the podcast listeners what happened to Ray in case they're not familiar?
So we had this. So if you watch my Sims videos on Twitch uploads, it gives you the whole story. So what happened was,
we'll post the link in the show notes if you guys are interested.
When you first start in Sims, you get a welcoming party and everyone comes over and they say hello and they give you food or whatever. So it was pretty much like, it seemed like all women came to mine. It seemed, except for this one guy named Ray, and he kept getting in the way. He was so freaking annoying. I was finally just like, you know what? I hate you, Ray. Get the hell out of here. That's also when I met Haley, my future wife. So we went through like this whole thing, and like I hated Ray, and I would invite him over and yell at him and tell him to get out of here. And then he kicked my bin. He went out in the front of my house and kicked my garbage pail. Oh, that's when we were mortal enemies. I fought with him.
Your nemesis.
I threw a drink in his face. So I liked Haley. Haley was cool. You know, she was awesome. We went on, we hung out a little bit. I was falling in love with Haley.
Mm-hmm.
So we went to the little museum together.
Nice.
Me and Haley.
Cute
all right.
Date.
Great.
That's a cute
it
date.
Was a date. I asked her on a date. So we went on the date and I did a little pickup line. She denied me. Not good. I did a little bit. I got better. I got better. It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
So then I asked, hey, Haley, you single? That's when she came back to me. And she said she's married to Ray.
Oh, my gosh. You went on a date with your nemesis wife.
So I ended up, long story short, ended up winning Haley over. She moved into my house with Ray as a roommate. Ray was directed to the pool, where walls were put around the pool, and he subsequently drowned. Don't know how it happened.
No. The walls were magically appeared out of the ground.
They magically
right?
appeared there, and he drowned. Not too sure how it happened. There's still an investigation.
Exactly. It's been months, and they haven't figured anything out yet. those Sims investigators didn't work very fast.
Yes. So. And then there's a whole other story with breaking up the Goth family. Is like the richest family in Sims world or whatever.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's
so
all fun.
Good.
It's all good times.
It is
it's all
so
good. Times.
Sims is a good time.
So much drama.
It's so much drama.
See, I like the way you did your Sims run, though, with everyone, like from stream.
Mm-hmm.
That was fun. That was cool.
Yeah.
That was a good idea, like where they submit their own Sims. I liked that.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. It was really cool. It's also, I mean, it's really cool just, it makes it, you have a higher buy-in with it. Like if I go out to the bar and I see someone from chat, I care a lot more than when I just see the random people from Sim World that I have no idea who they are. And then if like there's this great example about like how Echoscope was my neighbor and he was actually living with my girlfriend at the time, and like there was the woohoo noises coming up from their apartment, and so like it was a huge thing of like, oh my god, Echo, I can't believe you would do that to me.
Damn it, Echo.
Exactly. So like
it makes it so much more personable.
Exactly. And then when we got into a fight, like the Sim characters got in a fight, like it meant more than if I just like yelled at my neighbor. Like it was like, so Echo would come in and be like, am I still welcome here? Or is like, you know, it's just kind of like, it's just, it creates a lot of fun stuff. So that was that was a great way to do things. It was it's paid off really, really well. I wasn't sure how it was going to work out to begin with, especially when you don't know how mechanics work. this isn't just with like Sims 4. You know, there's so many times that you're playing a game and you want to try and do one thing, but you don't know if what you're like envisioning is actually how it's going to play out in the game.
Yes.
And that's what my hesitation was with this. I was like, oh, I can import people, but how does that exactly work? And like, will they show up places and everything? And like, it's worked out way exceeded my expectations. So
yeah, that's good.
Yeah, so it's fun. It's been good. I highly recommend it. Sims 4, awesome, awesome, awesome game. So go give EA money. I'm sure they need more.
Yeah, go give them some more so they can buy some Sims games.
Exactly.
So. Then buy all their packs, too. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, that's killer. That's killer. So many. So, so many. Whenever they go on sale now, it's awful. Like, if I see a sale on the Origin store, I instantly go over and check.
Yeah.
Check out if the Sims packs are ready for me to purchase. Like,
yeah, the sales are really the best time to get those.
Yeah.
Do you have the vampire pack?
Yeah, I just bought that. It was on sale last last month, I think.
It's okay.
I haven't played it yet. So, and my second thing, one thing is I didn't want to buy a bunch of packs off at the beginning for two reasons. Is first of all, no reason to go spend full price on all this stuff. But the second thing is it gives you something to do later in The Sims, right? And so one thing that did kind of suck is that now that vampires have been loaded in, it's now enabled. And so now we run across vampires and stuff. I'm like, I wasn't ready to kind of introduce that into the world type thing. And so one thing that we did is like we have the clubs part. And so like we just kind of got the Sims to join a club and haven't really explored all that yet. And they also have like the get to work one, but we haven't done any of those professions or like created an office or anything like that. So like, so I try and slowly get into each one of those and pace that out. So
yeah,
but yeah,
that's good.
It's been cool stuff.
You streamed during the day on Saturday, didn't you?
I did yesterday.
So tell me about that, because that's your first time really ever streaming during the day on Saturday, right?
I've done it I think four times total in my year and a half of streaming. The only other times I've done it before, so this is a different one though, because the only times I've streamed during the day before is if I had to do something Saturday night and so I couldn't make that stream, so I'd stream earlier to kind of like make up for it. And so I have vivid memories of one time we did an early stream and we played Euro Truck Simulator, which was so much fun. So I've done it a few times, and every time I had streamed during the day on a Saturday, I'd always said to myself, I want to do a daytime stream every Saturday, because it's like it's a different vibe streaming in the day than it is at night. Yeah. It's just there's something about it. You get different people because different people are available at that time compared to 7. And all that kind of stuff. But all that is beating around the bush. So the main reason why I was streaming yesterday during the day is because I changed my schedule, Skanky. I changed my Twitch schedule for the first time in a year and a half. I had the same schedule since I started streaming.
Crazy.
So it was a lot.
You're insane.
Trust me, I feel like it. It's weird.
So
it's,
how has that been?
It's very weird. It's very, very weird. So I got.
Let's let the podcast listeners know first. What is your new schedule?
My new schedule, for those of you guys that ever want to watch anything that I do on Twitch, is I'm live on Sunday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, starting at 7 p.m. Central Time, and Saturday starting at noon. So that's what my schedule is currently. What it used to be was, first of all, I loved everything about my old schedule. I really, really, really did. It kind of came out of luck, because I had classes, evening classes on Monday and Tuesday. And so the schedule had actually started Wednesday to Sunday. And it used to be Wednesday to Sunday, 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. U.S. Central Time. 15 hours a week, 5 nights a week. And it was just, I loved it. Easy to say, easy to stream. And it was just awesome. I had to change the schedule because with a bunch of other real life stuff going on, including dating and all that kind of stuff, like it's not okay. Dating is a big one. Well, if you're going out on dates, it isn't helpful to have Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Wednesday like all taken up in the evening times, right? Like, hey, I'm interested in you. You want to go on a date? It has to be Monday or Tuesday at 7 o'clock at night. one of those 2 days. Those are the only 2 days I'm available. Maybe we could do something during the day on the weekends if you're interested, but I have to be home by 7 because I got to stream. Like, that doesn't work all that well.
Doesn't work, yeah. So, unless someone actually understands Twitch.
Exactly. Unless they really understand Twitch, like, okay, yeah, I'm cool with that. Let's work around your Twitch schedule. Like, so that doesn't really work. And so, I'd been working on changing my schedule. It's been, I think, about a month, maybe a month and like a few weeks. And it was a lot of like hand wringing and like thinking out different stuff. I messaged the moderators. I messaged Skakey multiple times. I was like, I'm thinking about doing this one. What do you think? Like, if you were to do this, would you like this schedule? Get feedback from everyone. And so it wasn't just kind of like last minute, like, okay, let's just switch over to this. And so when I put it together, it purposefully opens up Thursday night, Friday nights, and Saturday nights. And then, you know, and that's why I have a Saturday stream. That's what daytime stream instead of at the night. And then,
yeah,
like, because most people don't really want to do things on Sunday night, so it's easy to go back for that one. I'm 1 week in on the new schedule, and it's been better than I thought, but it is also still weird. On Thursday nights, to not be streaming feels weird to me. And same thing with Friday nights. Like, even if I'm doing something else, it just feels like I'm supposed to be somewhere else and I'm missing like an important meeting type thing. And then Tuesdays, like Mondays and Tuesdays, were usually my day to like get other stuff done. And so now even Tuesday feels weird because like, oh, I usually did laundry on Tuesday night. It's like, no, now we're streaming. So it's kind of just like, you know, everything feels like a little bit out of a place, but it's only been the first week, so
yeah, you'll get used to it after a while.
Yeah, so it's not, you know, it's been a little weird, but it's also been great because everyone's been super supportive, which has been super nice. Like, one big thing that's like scary about changing schedules is like, is everyone gonna leave? Is no one gonna be here anymore? Is everyone gonna hate me? And so, like, so it's, I was worried about that. And I'm not gonna lie. Sometimes when, you know, the people are giving me a hard time about it, I got a little sensitive. And then I was like, No, they're still our friends. I'm just joking. Don't worry about it. You're okay.
Just jokes. You're fine. Don't worry. No one actually hates you.
No one actually hates me. I hope. Skanky's like, we're not doing the podcast anymore. And I'm like, no.
No, podcast is over. You change your schedule.
Exactly.
I already know. M. Cole's not going to stream on Monday, Tuesday. I already know that. Now my everything's messed up.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of, you know, one thing that it's kind of funny because it seems like something that's so simple of being like, okay, it's just a change of the days. But not even just for me, but like for like people in the community, you get so used to what the old schedule was. And so it is like kind of like a big change. And especially if you don't have the schedule memorized, you're just like, no, on Thursday nights, I hop over and I load up M. Cole and Skanky stream and I watch both of them. You know what I mean? So then you like hop on over, you're like, wait, why isn't M. Cole here? Like, you know what I mean? Or it's like Tuesday and you get the notification. You're like, oh, wait, you are live now? Oh, I didn't know that was going on. So
it gets a little confusing.
Yeah, so it gets a little confusing, and the new one isn't as elegant as what the old schedule was, which kind of, you know, which stinks, but
it has to happen. I mean, it's
exactly,
you know,
exactly. Like, and you know, like I said, Twitch is a huge part of my life, but also there's other big parts of my life too. So it's kind of like, of course, you gotta find the balance between everything. So, but yeah, so it's been good. It's been good. When I wanted to do, because everyone else, I feel like, in the world is like a significantly better artist than I am. And so, like, I feel like whenever I look at all of like my friends that have done schedule changes, like, they put out this like beautiful graphic of like, here's what the new schedule is and all that kind of stuff. Or like, if they're going to have a weird month, they put up like a little calendar and they're like, here's the weird month stuff. And I was like, I want to do that. And then I sat down and I'm like, I can't do that. Like, I do not have the ability to do this. And so I was like, screw it, we're going to do it our way. And so I put together this like little like chicken scratch, like child's drawing of a schedule. And so I was like, well, you know, I'm a Twitch streamer, like, let's record us making this one. So I did like a 20-minute video of me making this stupid schedule to like the graphics of tweet out. And like you say, like how your Sims video is like one of your favorite pieces of content you've ever made. I love this thing so much. I did stupid shit like saying, like, I put Tuesday at the top. I'm like, you guys, we can't have a Monday stream because I can't write it in between the top of the page and Tuesday. Like, it was just
That's funny.
It was just so stupid. And then, like, at the bottom, because I, like, my old schedule is 15 hours and my new one's 14. And so I was trying to, like, do some BS little, like, talk about why it's okay. And so I was like, let's do some, like, out-of-the-box thinking. And I was like, we'll do bonus streams. And I wrote that in. And then Tiny pointed out that I drew a box around it. And she's like, the one thing you say, let's think outside the box, you put a freaking box around. It was just, I don't know, it was a great video overall.
So funny.
I kind of love doing that kind of stuff. I mean, and that's just what I love about streaming and content creation in general. But
yeah,
so that was it. That was a nice, like, 15 minute answer to your question of how is the new schedule.
That's fine. It's good. It's gonna take some time for, you know, everyone to get used to it. Mm-hmm. I feel like, especially since you had the same schedule for like over a year and a half now.
Yeah.
So I mean, it takes some time, but you'll get used to it. And everyone will get used to it. And then everyone will stop saying that you don't stream anymore.
Exactly. Yes. Because that's when like I said, I've been talking about this schedule change for like for easily a month, if not a little bit longer. And the thing that like really is like, okay, this is the week it has to happen, is that it's just I've canceled so many streams. And you know, it just sucks when people show up on Sunday night at 7 to see the stream and it's not there for whatever reason. It was canceled for, I think this past one it was for family stuff, so it would have been canceled either way. But like, it's just, I was like, okay, now we got to put the new schedule in place. Like, it's just, it's not, I'd rather, you know, bite the bullet and make the jump and change the schedule than keep canceling streams going forward. So
yeah,
I think overall it was easily the right decision to make. And like you said, just after the first few weeks, it'll be like it was always there. So
easy.
Exactly. I mean, yours turned out well. You changed your schedule months ago. I mean, almost a year ago now. Well, I guess not a year, because but anyway, it's a long time ago, and yours has worked out.
Yeah, so, probably like 8 months ago, I guess.
Everything in Twitch time feels like it's so much longer. Like, I feel like I've known you for like 3 years.
I know. It really does.
So it's crazy.
These last couple months for me have kind of sped by.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like a little bit.
Yeah.
But like, I also talk about things like, when I talk about things that happened like near the beginning of my stream, I always feel like I'm saying like, oh, that happened like 30 years ago.
At the beginning of my career.
And then someone in chat's like, that happened like 2 months ago. I'm like, really?
Yes.
Wow. We stream a lot, don't we?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. No, it's crazy. Like, it's just one of those things that's with the platform that it just feels like, time feels like, I think just because it is, like you said, we stream a lot and just hours upon hours upon hours with other people, that like, you know, it's just, it feels, time feels so much more expensive.
Yeah.
So, but any other questions about the schedule?
No, I'm glad it's working out though.
Thank you.
I'm glad, you know, you made a change. I think it's a very hard thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's a hard thing to like finally be like, all right, we need to change this thing about this other thing that I've been doing for a very long time the same way.
Yeah.
Like, that's hard. Hard to do. So I commend you for that.
Thank you, Skanky.
Proud of you.
Thank you.
Proud, Skanky.
Appreciate it, Dad.
No problem. No crying on the
podcast. No crying. We promise this would not be a crying podcast.
Oh, Christ.
One thing we had prefaced last week talking about, and this kind of reminds me of it now, when we were talking about feels like knowing people forever. Is we had talked about a Kotaku article. Is that how you say Kotaku? Kotaku's. The Kotaku's article.
Kotaku's you.
The article's title is "When Fans Take Their Love for Twitch Streamers Too Far." There will be a link in the show notes. I read the article. Skank, you've read it before, right?
Yes, okay. I have read it.
Yeah, I was the one that had not read it, which is why we didn't talk about it last week. I read it way more recently than you have. Do you want me to give a brief summary, or would you like to?
Yeah, can you? Because I read it a while ago. Yeah.
So it's kind of like a two-pronged article. It tells a story, but then also kind of looks at streaming in general through the lens of the story. And the story it starts with is there's a streamer called Elohim, Elohime, who streams on Twitch. He's a partner streamer. He's a pretty big streamer. And talking about one night back in December 2015 when one of his fans and community members actually went to his house. Like, IRL physically flew out to his house. They actually flew from Singapore to where El Haim lives, which is Florida. So I wasn't just, like, even, like, in the same neighborhood. Made this big trip over to see El Haim, and because the reason was, is this kid, he was about 19 years old, a lot of things weren't going right in his life, and he felt such a connection to the streamer that he just felt like, okay, if I just go over there and, like, hang out with him and live with him, everything will be okay. Like, he'll make everything fine. And so he flies out there, and it's kind of through that, they, Kotaku and the article kind of looks at why does this happen, looking at Twitch in general, at celebrities, at why is there this connection where people in the community feel like they're best friends with the Twitch streamer, which is ultimately someone that they actually haven't really met in real life and that they only know a subset of, like, their personality and life. So really good article. And doesn't just focus on El Haim. Like, it talks about that story, but they interview and talk to a whole bunch of other Twitch streamers. They kind of relate it and tie it back to other celebrities in general, about how it's kind of, this has always existed with celebrities, like, where you might, like, see Jennifer Lawrence and be like, me and Jennifer Lawrence would be best friends, like, in real life. I don't think you know this, yeah. Skinky, but, like, we would honestly be best friends, but I really don't know her. Like, I can think that from what I see of her, but, like, ultimately I don't know. And so and it just kind of looks at that through the Twitch realm. So
yeah,
what did you think of this article?
I thought it was a super interesting read. I think when I first read it, I, like, immediately replied to the tweet that I saw that had originally tweeted. I was like, this needs to be required reading for anyone who wants to get into Twitch streaming. Mm-hmm. Because I think it's so important, mm-hmm, to also recognize the impact that you're making on people's lives, mm-hmm, and how often you're interacting with people online that you really maybe don't actually know. Yeah. And they might actually not know you, mm-hmm, you know?
Yep.
Like, in the end, like, we're playing video games online and we're having a good time. We're talking to random people, mm-hmm, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So this article kind of puts all that in a little different perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it was a nicely written article too.
Mm-hmm.
The stuff that happens in it though is kind of crazy.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. No, it really is. It really is. And it should be required reading, I think, for both people that get active in communities on Twitch and for streamers alike. Like,
yes, viewers as well should read.
Exactly.
It.
And the thing is, like, I think the reason why, like, it hits home so well is that, like, you read it and you, like, understand everything they're saying, right? Like, they're saying, okay, is it weird that this person showed up at his house? Yes. However, why did that happen? And, you know, I mean, like, can kind of look at it from there. And it really El Haim is very similar to the way we do things, even though he's on a much larger scale, that he's very open and available to the people in his community, like through Twitter DMs, through Discord, through hanging out with people and answering their questions. Not to mention the hours and hours and hours on stream where you're just hanging out, talking to people while you play video games. That is so similar to when you were younger and played video games in your basement with your friends, right? So it feels very, very similar to that. Even if you have, like, 1,000 people watching you, there's usually never 1,000 people chatting, so it still feels like that tighter community bond. And it's like, you know, so it's like, it's easy to see where if you aren't seeing it clearly, you can kind of mistake what the actual relationship is between that. So
yeah.
And also, I mean, this is where I am so bad at this. As streamers, we share a lot of stuff about our life, like maybe too much. And so people get to know you very well. But like a friendship kind of goes both ways, right? Like I know a lot of people in my community, but I don't know everyone. And I know people at different levels of knowledge and have different levels of friendship and connection with people in my community. And there are some people that if they visit Chicago, they are absolutely more than welcome to sleep on my couch. There's other people where if they visit Chicago, let's maybe we'll meet up for one drink, but like we're not going to be hanging out all weekend type thing. So it's just, it's kind of interesting with that. And then the second thing is also, I mean, you and I both don't share. There's a lot of stuff we don't share with chat. And I think that's kind of like for us, that's very, very purposeful. Like there's things you and I both think about, like, okay, that's something that chat isn't going to know about and our community is not going to know about. But on the flip side, they don't know that that's happening, right? Just because we're not saying it, like, it could just be an omission or it could be whatever it is. And so they think they know all this stuff. But like when things are going on in real life with work or with family or stuff like that, or another thing is like, I don't talk about dating on my stream, right? That's like a different part that isn't really in chat, isn't involved in really all that much. So it's kind of like, there's just a lot of stuff that we don't share and that we do keep private. So I don't know. It's a very interesting article. So
yeah. I thought it was a fantastic read. Now, the thing that I wanted to ask you is what did you think about how he dealt with that situation with the guy coming to his house and everything?
I don't know, because I don't know what I would do in his shoes. Like I think he did it well. I mean, I don't. I think he did a good job. When the kid showed up, like he kind of offered the kid like an Uber and paying for the hotel night, and then he also, you know, talked about it on like Twitter and stuff like that. Like I don't know. How do you feel about it? I have to throw this back at you because I really don't know.
I don't want to like say that he did the wrong thing.
Yeah.
But I mean, everyone has a different perspective. Me personally, if that had ever happened to me, I would immediately call the police.
Yeah.
Like 100%. That's what I would want to do because I don't know who that person is. Mm-hmm. At all. Like, I have never actually met that person. Yes, I may have talked to them on the internet a couple times. Mm-hmm. And this is not, like, I'm not trying to be, like, a dick or anything. Mm-hmm. But, like, that's just, like, it's not a cool thing to do, you know? Mm-hmm. Because there's a separation here. Like, yes, we kind of go online and we talk to all these people and we're, like, we're public about us, you know? Mm-hmm. But there's also that other part where, like, we have our private lives and we do our own thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So there's that separation, which brings me back to the interesting point about the Richard Simmons podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes back to this whole thing about how Richard Simmons believed that, like, they believed that Richard was his public person and that they had, you know, this interest in his life, when really, like, Richard just wanted to be a private guy. Yep. And not, and like, he wasn't actually friends with all these different people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it's that. Almost that kind of separation that we have.
Yeah.
Even no matter how connected we are, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and then to also accept that person, like, to say this and, like, tell him, oh, like, we'll do that for you. We'll put you up in a hotel or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's also kind of setting a precedent for later.
That's true.
And saying, like, hey, if you go to Elohim's house, he may buy you an Uber and go get in a hotel, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that if that had ever actually happened, 100%, call the police, because you really don't know who it is.
That's true.
You know?
Yeah.
No matter how much you talk to them on the internet.
Exactly. Yeah. No. All right. You've convinced me. I'm glad I forced you to answer this question.
But not to say that Elohim did the wrong thing. Like, this also happened so many years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it really
happened
did.
Like 5 years ago or something. And at that time, like, Twitch was a different beast.
Yeah.
Things were very, very different. I mean, he was, you know, he felt that connection with his chat like we all do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we all love everyone that comes to our streams and talk to us and interact with us and stuff.
Yeah.
So I can understand why he did what he did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, when he offered that and you said, like, no, like, we can't, like, the kid was like, no, I'm not going to go on the Uber or go to the hotel because I want to be with you.
Yeah, it's you or bust, like.
And then he said, oh, like, then we can't do anything for you and let him go. I think that's how it went.
Yeah.
And then his brother found the kid in his backyard.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem. That's a problem.
No, that's
like,
true.
That is not a good thing. And if he had called the cops immediately in the beginning, maybe that wouldn't have happened. But who's to know that, right?
Yeah.
Like, how are you supposed to know what's actually
going
to happen in that situation? That's why I would go under the impression that I would 100% call the police.
Also, we also have different backgrounds from Elohim and stuff. Like,
oh, because of course,
because he has like police training background too, right?
True.
Like,
true.
I will not be able to protect myself. Like,
oh yeah.
Like, as I would definitely be significantly more terrified. Like, yeah, I.
And even he was scared.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Even he's scared. Like, so. But yeah, no, I would do that also just because I don't like it's a situation I don't know how to handle, right? And so my first instinct is like, okay, like I don't know what's really going on, and this is not something I would have anticipated. So let's kind of just take the safest route for me.
Yeah. The other thing is the safety of the person that is going to the home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I'm not a trained professional. You know, I've never studied anything in the mental health field. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm always there to listen to people, but I can't give, like, proper medical advice about these types of situations. And obviously, this kid who visited him was, like, you know, very depressed, mm-hmm. going through a lot of issues. Mm-hmm. And I don't know the right thing to do.
Yeah, yeah, no, absolutely.
So, in that case, like, maybe the police would be able to give this person the help that they need.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad that I was able to, like, help them in some way, but I'm also like not the person to go to in that situation, you know?
Yeah, no, 100%. I agree with you. Like I say, you've won me back over to your side. No, but yeah, like you said, Elohim wasn't necessarily wrong in what he did. And I mean, also he knows what the situation was that he was facing, and we can only kind of get to the secondhand account. But it's great when you, like the way you tied it back to the Richard Simmons thing, because that's what I felt when I was listening to the Richard Simmons podcast. And that's why
the
Richard Simmons podcast, like that's why my opinion of it changed as it went on, is because I went from, oh my gosh, what happened, to this person has a private life, like kind of back off. So I 100% agree with that. So it's it's this weird delicate balance of like what we do every day, and you don't really realize what the consequences of it necessarily are.
Yeah.
Because the reason we stream compared to just playing video games by ourselves or with friends is because we love the community aspect, right? And sometimes and we are genuinely thankful when people show up and hang out with us in chat. And so, like, you know, so it's not like we're putting on this fake persona of like, oh, you're just, you know, pretending to like us so that you get followers or money or whatever.
So
that's a genuine thing. And then on the other side, in this situation, it got misinterpreted to be more than it actually was. And so it's like, just because I don't want people to show up at my house doesn't mean I don't want to hang out with them on the internet. You know what I mean? Like, that's two very, very different things.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But, like, I mean, I think even if you don't watch Twitch or you're not a fan of Twitch, it's a good article to read because, like I said, it applies to even just celebrities and other people in general, right? There's so many times where you see a person or find out a person, even if they're not a celebrity, and you're like, oh, me and that person would be great friends. And it's like, okay, maybe, but also you don't know them. Like, sure, like if it, like, maybe you can try and be friends with them, but also go the appropriate channels. But, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
don't show up at anyone's house uninvited. Maybe shoot them a DM and be like, hey, can you, you know what I mean? Like, different routes of doing different things.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But, yeah.
The other thing before what happened like a couple of days ago was someone got into like a Twitter argument with Summit or something. About like how streaming is easy.
Oh my
god!
Yeah,
and that, like, you know, he's a millionaire and like blah 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 blah, all this stuff. Even though Summit, you know, streams 12 hours a day, let's not forget that. So Summit like comes back with this thing with like, you know, he is impacting more people's lives than this Twitter troll will in their entire life.
Yeah.
Which is like, it's okay. It's a mean thing to say. But, I mean, it's kind of true. Yeah. Like, he will stream to almost 50,000 people every single day.
Yeah.
And he has impact in everything that he says. Mm-hmm. Like, people are listening and watching him consistently every single day.
Yeah.
You have some say about things. Mm-hmm. That's not to say that someone doesn't have a private life, though.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That we don't really know about, and that he doesn't open up about a lot. Mm-hmm.
No.
So
exactly.
That's something that's like a respect kind of thing. Yeah. Like you got to respect Summit's privacy as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, 100%. I have a whole nother like tangent that's related to this that I'm not going to start now. I'll save for a future one.
Okay.
That goes on that Summit thing and about like impacting other people's lives and stuff like that. But that's a future episode of Shenantics, because or else we'll be here for like 4 hours today.
Yeah,
that'd
be a while.
And we always gotta save some kind of pocket away a little bit of content for the future.
Of course.
This is becoming a thing. We talked about Kotaku article last time to then discuss this time. So tune in next week to maybe hear what I may be mentioning if I remember to talk about it.
Oh my God. We gotta convince them some way to listen to the next podcast.
I just pay them dollar bills.
Oh, you're paying people? I am too.
Oh, yes. That's why your viewer number went from 9 to 10. I knew it.
Wait, how much are you paying them?
I pay them in $2 bills, the actual $2 bills, not like two singles.
We'll talk about that later, because I'm paying them like fucking $10 each person.
What? I think you're overpaying them.
Yeah. What?
Oh, well, there's an overpaying. You did cut back on your writing staff, so you do have a little bit of extra money now.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, but still, we'll talk about it later. Never mind.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. Wait, were we supposed to tell the podcast audience about the money we may or may not have gotten from the emails?
No.
Because that's.
I'm gonna have to cut that out. I have to cut that out.
That's how we.
No.
Oh, sorry.
No.
I mean,
no,
okay.
No,
so yeah, that was Skanky. How's your day been?
Great. Hey, I have my small streamer of the week thing to say.
Your small streamer shout out for this podcast.
That's what it is.
Do you want
small streamer
do
shout
you want,
out.
Do you want to tell everyone what the small streamer shout out is before you shout out
sure.
the small streamer?
Every week, me and M call Switch Off, and we give a little shout out to a small streamer that we enjoy watching or interacting with in the Twitchverse. So definitely make sure to go and check out all the small streamers that we have talked about so far. And go give them some love and say that Shenantics sent you.
Yes.
That's kind of a general
thing.
That
was great. That was perfect.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
Awesome.
Yeah. So who is your small streamer shout out for this week?
My small streamer shout out of the week is for Macintoth.
Can you spell
that? That's twitch.tv/MACINTOTH.
Excellent.
So he's a partnered streamer, but he's still relatively small. He's got a cool community. Macintoth actually has no idea who I am. Fun fact. No idea who I am. But let me tell you the story of how I met Macintoth. Macintoth and me met on GTA 5 RP in Revolution Life Servers. And he plays a character called Francis, who is amazing and thoroughly loved by the Skanky Fam community. And I was creeping a little bit. I found his Twitch account, and I watch every once in a while just to see what he's up to. But his character Francis is incredible, and we all love Francis in the Skanky Fam. So definitely go check out Macintoth. He streams, I think, every single day at 10 a.m. Eastern, sometimes nights.
Oh, nice!
It says
I love daytime streamers. I really do.
Yeah.
Really, really.
And
cool.
He plays a lot of GTA 5 RP when he can get on the servers, obviously. Mm-hmm. And more recently, he's played The Surge. I don't know what that is. Interesting. The Surge, he's done some IRL stuff. He's done some Battlegrounds gameplays. So, and Minecraft. Interesting.
Oh, very cool.
So, yeah, he's a cool dude. Definitely go and check out Macintoth. He's a swell guy and does some amazing RP on GTA.
Yeah. So last week, if you guys were listening and you heard our discussion about Grand Theft Auto 5 role playing, and you checked out Skanky. You should always check out Skanky and his RP streams. He did one again this past Friday, right? Yep. Friday.
Friday.
Yep. Then Macintoth. If you guys were interested based on last week's discussion and you were looking for content in the GTA 5 RP area, you should go check out Skanky and Macintoth. So
definitely.
Very cool.
Definitely.
Excellent. Excellent.
I have a highlight on my channel, by the way, of me and Francis, Macintoth's character, meeting for the first time.
Ooh,
and it's amazing.
Nice. Can you shoot me a link with that?
Of course I can.
Perfect. And we'll throw it over in the show notes for you guys to check out.
Ooh.
So, excellent. So we got the small streamer shout out of the way. There's one more thing we have to do before we're allowed to end the podcast.
Wait, what's that?
We got to do the food finish.
Oh, the food finish.
How do you feel about tacos?
Oh, I love tacos. Now, this is the question. Soft shell or hard shell?
Depends.
Interesting. What does it depend on?
Typically prefer soft shell, but some you got to mix it up with the crunchy so that you remember why you love soft shell so much.
Oh.
What about you?
Interesting thought there. See, I like soft shell tacos a lot. Mm-hmm. I haven't had a hard shell taco in a long time.
Try it. Because I'm the same way. I was the same way. I love soft shell tacos. Always eat soft shell tacos. And then for whatever reason, one day I was like, let's get a hard shell. And just made everything better. So it was just, it was awesome. Now, very serious question for you. Do you think do you think it's ever possible to eat too many tacos?
No, depending on how small they are.
Okay.
Sometimes you got the miniature tacos, like the really small ones. You could eat those for days, like freaking Pringles. Yeah.
So I used to agree with you.
You had a bad experience.
Last week, I went out to Taco Tuesday.
Oh, God.
All you can eat tacos.
Oh, my God. One flat price?
Oh, one flat price. Yeah.
Oh, I already can see is going to go bad.
And they had a menu with 10 different types of tacos with different fillings.
Oh, Maron.
And so I wanted to sample and try different ones. And I ordered, and they bring it out in sets of four, right? They'll bring out four tacos and then you can order more and they bring out another four. And so like stuff like this. So I got my first four and I was like, we're cruising. Got my second four, we're going great. And then I got finished at like that eighth taco and I was like, I'm not feeling too good. And so
it hit you all at once.
Well, the waitress came by and she's like, you want another set? And I was like,
oh God.
Yes. Of course. She brings the next four. I got two more down and I couldn't finish the plate of four. And I felt like death for 24 hours. I felt bad. Like I was like uncomfortable in my own skin. Like I just wanted it to go away. I was so bad that this was on the week of Cinco de Mayo. Cinco de Mayo was on Friday, so I had tacos on Tuesday. I almost did not have tacos on Cinco de Mayo because I was so
That's a sin.
Yeah, I forced myself to choke down a few tacos, but like it was rough, Skanky. It was really
rough.
So
that is rough.
Just heed my warning. There is such a thing as too many tacos.
There is a
exactly.
limit.
Mine is clearly eight. So when I went to 10, it was way over.
Oh yeah.
So just I hear it might be a good thing to try to find where your limit is. So go into the pain zone at one point so you know where to back it off a few.
The pain zone.
Like okay, I now know I can safely eat small or eight. Medium-sized tacos, and I'll be fine.
Oh my God!
So I could.
That's
I have a barometer, but and for all you guys that are thinking to yourself, who the heck eats eight tacos or more? I know I'm disgusting. Don't judge me.
Don't do it. Just don't do
Learn
it.
Learn from my mistakes. It's not worth it. It's great because my buddy, me and my friend that. He was in the same situation. We were texting all night about, like, if I die from tonight, can you please, like, come and make sure I'm in a decent position and stuff? Like, anyways, so this past Tuesday, he texted me. He's like, there's Taco Tuesday at this other bar. I was like, no. He's like, it's not all you.
I can't
he's
do
like,
it.
He's like, it's not all you can eat. And I was like, maybe. We'll see.
I love it.
So, but. Yeah, no, I love tacos. Love tacos.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
All right, you guys, that has been another episode of the Shenantics Podcast. New episodes release Monday mornings, bright and early, just in time for your commute, work day, school day, chore day, or just lounge around the house and be an awesome relaxation day. You can find us wherever you find podcasts in all the standard apps, including the iTunes Store and the Google Play Store, and at our website at shenantics.rocks. If you guys love us and think we're awesome, or you think we're even just kind of mediocre, you should head on over to the iTunes Store and leave us a rating and review. You don't even have to listen down the iTunes Store to leave us one of these beautiful ratings or reviews. It really does help us out so that other people can find the podcast and listen. If you have a question for us, you can send us a tweet over at the Twitter account ShenanticsPod, or send us an email at ShenanticsPodcast@gmail.com. You can join the discussion over in Discord. There is a link to invite you to the Discord server with the Shenantics Podcast room. Head on over to our website, shenantics.rocks, and click on About to get the invite link. Shenantics.rocks is also where you can find all of our show notes. Speaking of finding things, Skanky, where can they find you on the internet?
They can find me on twitch.tv at twitch.tv/skanky, S-K-X-N-K-Y, and on the Twitters at iSkanky, I-S-K-A-N-K-Y, and mcole. Where can they find you on the internet?
I am at twitch.tv/mcole_mcul and the underscore symbol. And I'm also same username on Twitter. Who would have thought? Twitter.com.
Wow. Incredible.
I paid lots for these, man. Paid lots of these.
I know.
So.
You paid him at least 3,000 bits.
Exactly. At least 3,000 bits. It was perfect, and I secured those down. Great talking to you, Skanky. I cannot wait to talk to you again next week.
Great talking to you. Can't wait to see you then. Okay, goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.